survive or die, and being financially independent means I don't need to be controlled or in a bad place.
Today, we are joined by a weapon in business, finance, and property. She's the co-founder of Grow Group Australia, an award-winning entrepreneur, property investor, and a crypto and real estate expert.
I always was thinking about how to make more money, how to make more money. If someone puts something in front of me and says, you could earn this, but there's no guarantee, I'll actually do that. I thought I will be a leader of people. I will manage people. I never thought I want my own company. Like, I never even thought that was a thing. I just thought I'm going to be a boss.
Today's guest is a financial literacy advocate helping people retire young and rich. She has built multi-million dollar businesses and amassed a property portfolio of over $10 million.
I help people retire earlier because they're investing earlier.
Today, we bring you Ida Chabanne to share her knowledge and help you unlock your own wealth potential. Welcome to another episode of Talk Toby to Me. I'm Jess.
And I'm Meg, and we're two sisters that love to talk all things business, mindset, self-development, and everything in between.
Our weekly phone catch-ups, but hot girls don't gatekeep, so we've decided to bring our combos to you. Today, we are joined by a weapon in business, finance, and property. She's the co-founder of Grow Group Australia, an award-winning entrepreneur, property investor, and a crypto and real estate expert. Today's guest is a financial literacy advocate helping people retire young and rich. She has built multi-million dollar businesses and amassed a property portfolio of over $10 million. She also happens to be our very first business coach and now friend. Today we bring you Ida Chabanne to share her knowledge and help you unlock your own wealth potential.
Welcome.
I was not saying the full surname, by the way. Like, just don't sign me up for that.
No, yeah. I never. It's just Ida Chabanne. It's fine. People can't even get the first name right.
Yeah, we actually had a... Oh my God, so many people saying Ada.
I answer to anything now. I just can't even be bothered.
Well, welcome to the pod.
Thanks for having me.
I feel like you sped over the fact that Ida was actually both of our first business coaches. So we know her very well, and very excited to have
you
here.
Actually, for
it's really cool to one of the reasons I love doing coaching, especially in business, is looking at where people start and where they grow to, and then continually seeing them develop. It's like having children without having kids.
You get the benefits without the shit.
Yeah, that's right.
Literally, and also actually. I've spoken about on the podcast before, but helped me purchase my first investment property as well, for anyone who didn't
know. And what a time to have trusted me and get into the market. Like, I'm so happy that, you know, you took that step, because, like, to say that you have bought a property in probably one of, well, Brisbane's best suburb and probably Australia's fastest growing suburb is, like, very, very, very good. But you just basically, you took a risk, and a little bit, it's always a risk to do something you don't know. And then you actually trusted the right people, and look at where you are. You're getting ready for your second property.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Actually, just on that, I feel like the biggest thing is, if you're paying someone for their advice, like, take it.
Yeah, trust them.
Which actually is one of the things that I wanted to talk about when you were talking about, like, some of my advice. Like, it's... actually get someone to help you through the process of investing.
Oh my God, yeah.
Whatever you're investing in. And then two, make sure you're getting advice from people that are where you want to be.
Fucking oath.
Yeah.
You're preaching.
In anything.
And disregard anyone else's advice where you don't want to be. You don't have to retaliate.
Be mindful of the people that are giving you their opinions, for sure.
Yes. And the mindful of people you're following on Instagram.
Yeah.
And whether it's true or not.
Yeah, literally.
We were just talking about this.
Yeah. So on that note, would you like to kick us off by sharing a bit about how you got to where you are in property and a bit about your backstory?
Yeah. So to kind of let you know where I've landed, probably need to give a bit more of a background on where I came from. So I was born in Iran. Left Iran when the revolution happened and came to Australia with my parents. So I couldn't speak any English. Only my dad could speak a little bit of English, but we lived in Thailand first, then went to Sydney, from Sydney to Brisbane. And so for me, like, I grew up not speaking English, coming to a country where it really wasn't the same as it is now. It wasn't as multicultural. So I witnessed a lot of, I guess, racism, if you want to call it, bullying towards my mother. And, you know, there's a lot of instances that have shaped me into the person I am because I saw my mum being treated poorly because she wasn't educated and she wasn't able to communicate effectively. So that was probably the first thing that happened in my life where I thought education meant you could communicate and communication was acceptance. And then I didn't learn English till properly, probably like grade two or three, where I could actually speak to people. And then I fast forward, I just always thought education was key, like be smart, know everything, be the best at sports, whatever you can do to be accepted. Then home life was really bad for me. I grew up with a father that was a very heavy alcoholic. My home life was very abusive. I spent a lot of my upbringing from safe houses to safe houses, which is like places that you go when you're in domestic violence situations, and then until it's safe, then you return home. So I would get picked up from school in police cars, and yeah, so I never had stability. Wow. So I'm telling you all this because when you get to the end, which is like I help people buy properties and homes and develop, it makes sense that I got into an industry that was safe, secure, creating stability for people in home, right? So I moved out at 14, well, left home at 14, got told I'd have to go into foster care, which I didn't want to go from a shit house to another shit house. So I just stayed at friends' places till I was 16, and then I became my own legal guardian at 16. Went to school, first job Hungry Jack's, and then worked my way up to an assistant manager, then worked at a Subway store. All through school, I was basically in charge of people. I was running three Subway stores at the age of like 17 for multiple owners. So I was like, I thought I will be a leader of people. I will manage people. I never thought I want my own company. Like, I never even thought that was a thing. I just thought I'm going to be a boss, you know? And then I went and I went to uni, did business management, majoring marketing, loved marketing. And then I thought I'm going to do property marketing because when I was younger in our Persian community, there was a lot of builders, there was a lot of developers, and the developers that I used to know back then are people like your Sunland and very, very well known developers now. I saw them going from house to house, this house, better house, more beautiful house, better car. And I was like, property is like something that, you know, helps you be successful. For me, being successful, having money meant independence and that no one, I didn't have to be anywhere that wasn't safe. So survive or die, and being financially independent means I don't need to be controlled or in a bad place. So they were the biggest pushes to where I am. Then I started off in like looking at property and property marketing, but I actually ended up taking a job in finance and teaching people how to pay off debts, cash flow finance, and owning homes faster. That was like my first role, but I was on commission only. So I could have gone into a cadetship and earned 25 grand to work my ass off, or I could have then taken comm only, get paid a bigger ticket, which was only $700 back then, but I thought that was like huge, work my ass off and the sky's the limit, work your ass off, maybe you'll earn 100 grand in 10 years. And I just couldn't justify trading time for money at that age, because from a really young age, like, I don't know about you guys, but my first thing I did to make money was I created bracelets.
Yes.
And then I went and stood at the tuck shop and I negotiated with people to buy my jewelry instead
it's
of
giving
food.
Entrepreneur.
And then I got in trouble. Yeah, so that was like me. I'm like, always was thinking about how to make money, like how to make more money. So like, if someone puts something in front of me and says you could earn this, if you know, but there's no guarantee, I'll actually do that.
All right.
So that was like kind of how I started out. And then started in finance. From there, I got offered a role, a licensing opportunity to do wholesale finance. So I actually was a funder in my own right, lending out wholesale money. And then Grow got developed as we were buying property for ourselves. Clients were like, can you help us do it? So building a portfolio, started getting clients to do it, moved into project sales, purchased another business, Newstead Realty. So then we did property management, residential sales, project sales. I've launched projects like internationally. I've helped developers like work out exactly what they need to build for a particular site. And then from there, started doing our own property developments in probably it was 2000 and maybe 10 was the first 8-unit development. And then now we pretty much offer all of those services in-house. And most of my time I'm spending on like probably coaching, working on creatives for the business and doing things that are helping other people. So if that's through workshops, podcasts, and developing property. And developing property, that means something. So fully sustainable farmhouses, crypto projects, and, you know, looking at how to tokenize development is something that we're looking at doing.
So obviously you've achieved so much success, and we were actually just talking about off air. We wish we started recording earlier because there was some serious juice. But how has that been as far as, I guess, people looking in from the outside and the support you've had or kind of what response you've had from other people? And particularly we were talking about other women.
So I think throughout my journey, I would never say that I got to where I have without support or help. I definitely would not be who I am or where I am, A, for my business partner, and B, for people that helped me along the way. But I would say I got more help from men than I got help from women. And as I have, which is so crazy because, like, you know, this whole thing about when this movement where women are not treated fairly, I didn't get that experience through my, and I'm in a male-dominated industry. I actually had a lot of men, and I was like, maybe I was guided or protected, that like helped me like stay safe in those environments and pulled me up and taught me and mentored me and coached me. And then women, like, I had a lot of people that were using me. I had so many people, like, I didn't know until I've stopped those friendships that I was only being used for the networks that I had or the contacts that I had or the pool that I had. And I was never, I could never see that, but everyone around me could say, why are you friends with this person? Like, they're just using you. What's going on? But even more so, like, the biggest thing I've noticed is, and it's so sad, and I talk to my partner about this all the time, like, I actually leave places sometimes coming home in tears because I'm like, why are people so competitive? Why are women so bitchy? Why build someone up? And then when you start to see them as a threat, you like want to push them down.
Yeah, it's
like,
so,
I find people want to ride that, lift you up or get you to do something, and then they'll turn around and like disclude you. It's just insane because I'm so not built like that. I'm like, fuck yeah, like, good for you. You're achieving this. Like, how can we work together? What can I learn from you? Or how else can I help you? But like, it's like so much jealousy, and I don't actually know. I don't really believe in the women empowering women statement because I haven't witnessed. I mean, there's few people that you can, but just generally speaking, so many people are jealous. Either they put you on a pedestal and they think you're like, wow, you're so good, and I could never hang out with you, and you're like, I'm just a fucking person, or they like, oh, I'm so jealous and I don't...
I
don't know, what have you guys...
Yeah, I feel like we talk... Well,
it's actually funny timing because last episode we were talking about how we're like against radical feminism. And yeah, I feel same. Like there's a trending theme here.
Yeah, and then the episode that we just recorded earlier, we were talking about this same thing as well because it's come up for me recently where there's people in my life, and I actually thought, like you said, you've cleaned up a lot of relationships, I thought I'd done that very tightly. And then it's come up for me recently that, like, people want to support you. Women, sorry, want to support you to a certain level, like you were saying, Ida. And then once you exceed that level, that you become, like, it's like them projecting that, like, you've exceeded a level that they can relate to almost, that they then want to, that they can't support you anymore. And it's, like, so much easier for them, for women to support you when you're vulnerable or when something's going wrong in your life. And, like, people are fine to do that because it makes them feel better about their own situation or whatever the case may be. But then, and it doesn't make them feel any way about their own, like, potential or whatever. But as soon as you, reach a certain level of what they perceive, it's not even, like, no one really knows what's actually going on unless it's, like, Meg with me or whatever. But, yeah, it's really sad that we find, obviously all three of us, find that people are happy to support you either when you're down or when you're at a certain level. And then as soon as you exceed that level in their mind, it's, like, a totally different story. And I was just, like, really surprised to find that come up in some relationships recently.
Yeah, it's really disempowering because then you're like, well, who is my circle? And like, you just end up having, I have so many male friends, but you do want those feminine, you do want feminine and female relationships because men, you just, sometimes they end up just talking to you like you're a boy and you're actually a girl and you're like, I've got emotions and I have feelings.
I actually had the weirdest thing that I just remembered. I was at this local venue in Wollongong and I was like, we were out for some reason and this, like, other female in business came up to me and was like, oh, talking about this other person saying, oh, I know you guys are competitors, da, da, da. And I said, I was thinking, what the hell? I think I actually said, what do you mean competitors? Like, just because we're both in beauty business, like, doesn't, like, I don't look at it like that at all. I'm like, I'm doing my thing over here. You're doing your thing over here. Like, good on you. Like, but I don't even, like, it doesn't even cross my mind that it's, like, someone local in business is a competitor. I'm just like, you have your people, I have mine. Our businesses are completely different for starters. Like, the avatar or, like, the vibe of the business or whatever is completely different. So I'm like, what are you even saying? Like, that's obviously something that's been discussed. And I'm like,
and also, like, there's enough for us,
for everyone.
Yeah, there's enough people to go around.
So,
it's like saying for you, Meg, like, oh, like, there's so many online coaches, so don't bother. There is so much business
that
it doesn't matter.
We say
matter.
All the time,
and
like,
it's actually,
we don't, like, you don't want everyone to be your friend, so why would you think everyone would want you to be their coach or mentor or
client,
catalyst or whatever?
And it's also very ignorant to think that there's just this one small pool of people that you can serve.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
But let's just, I want to backtrack a bit because obviously we were talking about earlier how I bought my first investment property with you. And one of the biggest conversations I have with people now is the difference between buying to live versus rent vesting. And I always try to explain, but now I've actually just been like sending them your episode you did on your podcast.
Yeah, good.
I'm like, don't even ask me, just listen to this. So can you explain, I guess, the pros and cons?
Yeah. So, I mean, affordability is getting like, it's harder and harder to buy property and it will continue to get harder for people to buy property. So the strategy of rent investing I've been doing since I was 19, right? I bought my first property, I didn't live in it and I kept doing that. And then I actually wrote the module of rent investing, if anyone wants to do it, for REIQ in Queensland on the actual how to rent vest. But the main thing is rent vesting is where you choose where you want to live because you like that area and you rent there. So it's cheaper for you to rent than buy. And then you invest where you can afford. So rather than buying a property that you can afford, so let's say, like, let's go New South Wales and all you can afford is like 800 or something. So you got to go further away from where you normally live. So why would you do that and then be miserable because you're spending 2-3 hours in traffic, none of your friends live there, the lifestyle is completely different just because you're buying a property to live in versus buying an investment property and say 800 could buy you in a better location in another city, so closer to the city, but you rent where you want to live. So rent vesting is cheaper because the out-of-pocket costs for owning an investment property, you basically in a 10-year period, 67% of the property or the asset is paid by tax and tenant. So your portion of paying debt down or paying the property is only that difference. So for example, like I did this in a workshop recently and I wrote it down so I can give some real numbers. To buy a property for $900,000 and live in it in an apartment, it would cost you around $1,350 a week. If you did the same, you'd buy a property you could buy cheaper for around, say, $650. And that property would cost you $110 a week. This is including all outgoings. So when we look at renting where you want to live and owning an investment, your out-of-pocket cost is still less than half of living in a property. Now, the other benefits of rent vesting is, so your costs are lower, but you've got into the market. So potentially you've bought in an area that's better as well, maybe in another state that has more room for growth. And then your lifestyle. So like you could travel and your property's fine. But if you want to travel and you own a property live in, you're gonna basically either have to keep paying that or you're going to move out and put tenants in there for that period of time. Okay, so that's a whole big thing compared to just like do what you want to do, live the best life. And your cash flow as an owner of an investment is a lot better because of that cost per week. So right now, it's the only way some people can get into the market, and getting into the market is more important than waiting till one day maybe you'll have enough money to buy where you want to live. So investing, getting in the market, build a portfolio. So you could own two properties as investment versus owning one potentially to live in. Now, I don't know about all the listeners, but owning two assets over 10 years, 20 years is going to make you way more money in capital growth that you have options. So you could sell one, pay debt down on the other, or sell one, buy where you want to live, sell two, buy where you want to live. So like you want to make investing as easy as possible so that you, all you do is you go to your work and you make more money. All I say to my clients is your job is just make more money. That's it. And then proportion the income that you make to investments so that your spending money is this and then everything else is invested. Because what happens over time as we're younger and we're like, you know, in that growth phase of income, but when you hit a certain age, let's call it 65, that's what people call retirement now, but like that's when you want to reduce your work, right? So if you buy young and you know, like if you're still in your 20s, 30s, 40s, you've got like 25 years if you're 40 to do that. So the more assets you have and hold for the long term, you're going to have a way better retirement, earlier retirement, which is what I say is like I help people retire earlier because they're investing earlier. So it's like I'm so random, but I will like have so many different things my money's going to, like all these random things. Like I use different apps that micro invest every time I spend. I'll have like money pushed into different bank accounts. I don't even remember where it is. I'll have self-managed super funds. I have cryptos. I have crypto projects. I've got mining rigs that's like mining Bitcoin and I'm earning money. So I do so many things. And what I actually spend on myself is fuck all. Because like I think, fuck, I could be earning money. Like I literally would rather put my money into something that's earning me money. And now when I go to buy an outfit, I'm like, oh, I could have put that $1,000 into Bitcoin or I could put that $1,000 into this. And it's like, because I know how much more money that will be worth. So yeah, I kind of think once you start on the journey and get more and more educated, you start thinking differently about your money because we work hard. We're all working very hard to earn that money.
And at the end of the day, if you're not like, you actually posted something the other day that I fucking loved and it was more money is, money is not the goal, it's a tool. Freedom is the goal. Yep. I think that was, it was along those lines. And I just love that because like, what's the point in being in business if you're just like grinding to spend your money rather than like grinding to build your wealth? And you're free, build your wealth to create freedom, sorry.
Correct. So that was I saw that and I tagged whoever posted it because I loved it so much. But it's literally what I stand for. Every time someone comes in, whether you're in business or you go to work and you're like, I want to buy property, I'm like, mad. Why?
Yeah.
You know, like property is just a tool. Crypto is just a tool. All of these things are tools to get you what you want. What is it that you want? Don't we all want more freedom? Don't we all want more time? So what are you doing like every year, every week or whatever? How are you thinking about where your money's going to be able to create more time? And how are you making your decisions? Like, especially as a business owner, like it's easy to hustle. I know it sounds funny, but it's easy to just grind and hustle and work and work and work and work. But like, do you really need to work more? Like I had this conversation with one of my friends who was like feeling really burnt out and was like, you know, going into comparisons and this person's doing this, why aren't I doing this and all this. And I was like, ma'am, what is your goal? And she's like, oh, I don't know. What do you mean? I'm like, well, what are you doing? Like, why are you building a business? Why are you doing all this? And she was like, well, more freedom and flexibility. And I laughed because I said, well, you already have that. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, you don't have to work that much. You have people that work for you. You can actually just start. Why don't you just take a day off? And she was, and I said, so what are you comparing yourself to this person in business that has to hustle forever because that's their mindset? Why don't you start working on your mindset to think about how can I create more freedom and time? Yeah. So I don't know, like I'm just on parting stuff. I've been in business for 21 years now. I'm going to be 40 this year.
Shut the fuck up.
And the
no,
whole thing
not.
Is...
And
you're absolutely lying.
40 what? This year. And so like, you know, going through my whole identity crisis of, you know, midlife... Is that midlife crisis? You know, I haven't bought another Porsche or anything.
Not with
but
stem cell therapy.
Stem cell.
It's just borderline.
No, my trick to looking young is diet, health, what I put in my body. I started looking after my skin with like all the best products, like really expensive product, which is more expensive than Botox in my like 20s. And then I started just getting Botox when I was like, I don't know, after 30.
We fucking love some Botox.
Yeah. And I'm all for all that. And I did vampire treatment, anything like...
And gut health.
Yeah, and gut health.
All of that, gut health. Mm. But like not smoking was a big one for me, I think. And water. Yeah, I mean, all of these things. But at the end of the day, like, I've lived a very stressful life and I still don't look feral.
Stressed.
So stress is bad. But if your diet's good, it might counteract that.
So on the back of the investment, the property portfolio conversation, how do you determine or how do the listeners determine what investment opportunities are right for them? Or how do you determine that for your clients?
Yeah. I was thinking about this the other day because there's, you know, when you look up something on Instagram, and you just get smashed with everything to do with that topic. So I'm constant at the moment. I have literally every second thing is some investment guy and I'm like, oh God, stop. But like everyone's talking about strategy, this strategy, buy cheap, do this, do that. And I'm like, fuck man. It's not about what other people, it's literally like such an individualized thing. So for me, like you can't do what I did because we're in a different time. You can't do renovate and flip and pay all this money for courses because you can't really do that without capital anymore. Like times change, so strategies aren't always applicable. So the strategy is really individual. My biggest advice is that people need to be more realistic about where they can buy. It is and buying in better areas. So like we focus in on like those blue chip areas. You know, I get text messages on Instagram and DMs and that, you know, can you buy me a property for 500? I'm like, good luck. I can't help you with that.
That's actually something I remember asking you because a lot of people would say to me, why are you buying this property when you could get something for a lot less?
Yeah.
So this is an interesting, I think, point for people who are not educated on it.
And also fuck off with those shitty questions when you don't know what you're talking about. Like,
And also, it's always the people that don't have any properties or, that have got so much to say.
They're just like a fucking pipe down touchy.
They're like a Joe Blow Aussie baller that has no idea about what they're talking about. And you're just like, this.
I don't know. You're right.
I really want to get on like all these podcasts with people that are doing these podcasts around property so I can actually have a live debate with these people because I would fucking love that. But I don't know if they would have me on the show, but like because like I rarely reshare someone's bullshit, but I've started to where I'm like, I saw one about like you can be a developer without using your own money if you've got no experience in developing. And I like fucking reshared it and I wrote, this is a load of fucking shit. And whoever thinks that you can do that, you fucking can't. You need like $1 million in capital to develop something now. So like, oh, and someone that's never developed property is going to go and ask someone to give them money when they've never developed a property. Oh, here's $1 million and you can use my money to develop it. You have no clue. Like, so going back on what you said about like how, you know, how do you know what to buy? Like, I'm not saying other people, what other people are selling, you can't buy for 500. There's a lot of people that will sell your rural for 500. There's a lot of people that will do different things. I talk about 21 years of being in real estate, everything. I've done it all. I've bought and renovated, done major renovations on a shitty old place. I've bought one bedrooms. I've bought off the plan. I've like developed, I've done all of that stuff. And I know, and in all different areas, and I've helped people do it. I've done the finance for people that have owned assets in certain areas for 20 years that haven't performed. Like, I'm going by actual data and evidence of what I know is probably the less risky thing to do for people to get started. And like, when you're getting started, like, it's not about how much money can you make fast. It's about what is the safest place with the lowest risk and stress for me to get into the market. And when you look at blue chip areas, if you look at supply and demand, right, if you're buying in a better suburb, we're looking at the demographic and the income, okay? Do you want to buy in an area where the average income, the disposable average income of that household is sitting at like, let's call it $5,000 a week combined income? Or do you want to buy in an area that's $1,200 a week? Now, when you just look at those two things, which area is going to be able to pay you rent increases every year and have the ability for that property prices in that area to go up because of the income? So not even looking at supply and demand, areas, crime, vacancy, all of that, just looking at income and the people that live in those suburbs. That is an area where if you turn around and need to increase rents, sell your property, how is your property looked after? Those are the reasons. So like capital growth always starts from the cities and it moves out. That's it. That's how it goes. Now, you've due to COVID, you've had random things like rural takeoff because people have wanted to like get away from, you know, control or whatever you want to call it. But the biggest thing is like, we're looking at where you've got more potential for growth, more potential for rental growth, rental price growth, and low risk. So in COVID, we have a rent roll of over 300 properties within sort of 15 to 20Ks of the city. We had 5 people ask for a rent reduction out of 300 properties. That's it. Now, if you owned a property further away and spoke to some property managers in the, you know, further out, literally people were not paying rent. So like, these are all the things that like we look after for clients and we know, but when you have a meeting, you can't cover all of this in 10 minutes. Like, it's like, I just blows my mind that someone would not go to someone with experience on all levels to help them and listen. Like, I still have the battles with people. I'm like, what the fuck do you know? What, you think you know more than what I do? Like, what have you done? You haven't done anything, but you're fighting me and I don't even have those conversations. So now it's like, this is what we
take
do.
Take it or leave it.
If you want to take it, then this is how we can help you. And if you think that you're still confused and I have a bit of like, I just say you're actually mentally not ready to buy. That's it. When you're ready to buy, you just do it, right, Meg? You're just like, yep, let's do it. Bang, done. Whoa. See you later.
Mm. And actually, this is a kind of side note, but I had a consult call with a new business mentor and client the other day, and she was saying how I was so like affirmative. Is that the right word? Assertive with my pitch at the end, like the price and the terms and stuff. And she was like, it made me so confident in you that you know what you're talking about and you know you can help me. And I feel like it's the same thing like with what you're saying about like you're not going to argue with those people about why they need to like do what you're saying because they're not ready to do it if they're having those conversations.
And 100%. I think when you're expert, like you are so like integrated in that you're like, I know that like I'm confident that I can help you achieve X, Y, Z. Even when it comes down to like you were saying, Meg, coaching or even like with tattooing consults, I'm like, I'm not here to convince you to get your eyebrows tattooed. If you're not ready, that's on you. I'm here to give you the information and the education around the treatment or the coaching, like you said, Meg. And then you take it. And if when you're grounded in that decision, you commit.
So it's always more a matter of mindset and where people are at versus whether they're going to do what you want to do. And also like, and it's confidence but all of that, it's all, investing is all mindset.
I love that you do focus a lot on that, even in your workshops. And it's not just like you're very, what's the word? Like mask in your delivery of the education, but then you've got that really nice balance of the mindset work and
it's quite holistic,
making the process really individual and unique to each person.
And it doesn't matter, like for me, like it doesn't matter what stage you're in. Like I help really high level clients like develop huge things, but then I absolutely love when I'm like teaching someone that's just had this massive aha moment and they're buying their first thing, you know, like it's like the reward is the same. And like for me, I don't feel like I've ever changed no matter what I've done. I still feel like I'm just as relatable to people. But the problem is that you've got like a lot of people that think they're the experts, and that could be from Googling or listening to 10 million things, attending 50 workshops, and they think that they know more than you. So, you know, and at the end of the day, you're just not, for me, like, I don't feel that everyone's your client because, like, you know, if I knew me when I was, like, freaking 18, I would have reached where I wanted to reach, like, when I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are the biggest investment opportunities you see coming up in the near future?
Yeah, I would probably say the way we invest will be different. So we've started, we've developed something. So you've got the rent investing, which is what more and more people will do. But we've also worked out another strategy, which is called co-invest, where now we've developed a bit of a program with financial planners, other planners that will provide the advice, and accountants that will enable people to invest together.
Interesting.
In a sort of trust structure. Yeah, that will basically be more safe than just like individual investment and just doing it together, because I don't believe that, I think unless a lot of parents are going to help their kids, and like I never had parents that could help me buy property.
Yeah,
so some people,
our parents
are
like, ha, but if you've got a group inheritance,
yeah,
we're like, thanks for nothing, guys.
Yeah, so. Then, yeah, you've got people that are, you know, maybe sisters, brothers, friends that have been friends for a long time that might have a certain amount of deposit each that could go in and create a like a new structure and a new entity where they will use that as an investment vehicle to continue to invest. Now, there's risk associated with it and pros and cons, but ultimately we have been helping people do it through the right advice, like in making sure they're covered. But I just think that that's going to probably be the new thing. And you've heard it from me because I started talking about rent investing and then it became a thing. But co-invest is something that we're working towards on how we can help more young people enter the market. I think that you're also going to start to see another random, like, opportunity-wise, you'll see shifts in the way that people choose to. You'll have, like, a divide where some people will choose to go and, like, go back to the old ways of, I'm moving to rural, I'm going to fucking have my own veggies, water, all this, I'm moving out of the system.
Off-grid,
out of the system. So there's this divide of people going back to the old school way. And I think you're going to see properties built differently, which is like micro homes. I don't know if you guys have heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like we've looked at like how can we develop these, but it's already done overseas a lot. But basically it's like boarding, but you end up having like really cool shared facilities. So they're like mini hotel kind of things where you go in, you've got like sort of like a hotel room style bedroom. But then your facilities, like you've got huge kitchens that you all share. So like share living when micro renting kind of stuff. But the biggest other opportunities that I'm seeing right now for first timers or even investors is just like by buying off the plan. And that allows people to save more money during that construction process. And it allows them to potentially have uplift so that when they settle on property like you, Meg, the value's gone up, so you don't have to put in as much capital, or you don't have to pay mortgage insurance. So, yeah, all of these. And then something else that we're working towards is where I was saying how we're bringing in the blockchain and ability for clients to come in to our developments and to be able to be a micro investor and to own a portion of a project and still be able to then... I'm not going to go into too much because someone will steal this. So that's all I'm going
to
say.
So that's different to...
But yeah, using digital.
Okay, right. So that's different to someone buying off the plan where they're kind of investing into the whole development via their one apartment purchase.
No, so buying off the plan is you will own that apartment.
Oh, right.
But you need to have the full loan and everything. So what I'm talking about is we're working on like a full development where we develop the whole development. And people can have a proportion, like a share in that project. But we will also have like education. We will also have things where you can actually, like an NFT, where you could have stays. So we've got a lot of property right now, like, you know, in Newstead, Gold Coast, where people can stay in those properties. So instead of paying to stay, you might be able to use your
credit kind of thing.
Kind of credit to go in.
That's cool. I love that.
Stuff that we're working on in the background.
Yeah,
but
I
want to try and bridge the gap, but the biggest thing that we're bridging is affordability.
So and actually so interesting you brought up the co-investing. Is that what you call
co-invest
it? Co-invest, because we were talking about, I think, I don't know if we mentioned on our call about how Nick and I are looking at buying a property in either Perishall or somewhere in the snow with our other friends that are a couple to Airbnb out or rent out or whatever, and then just kind of block out the weeks that we want to stay there. So, it's cool. Lots of opportunities. Whoa.
Yeah, and just with that, you just got to make sure you set up the structure right to begin with, because if you don't, then when you're buying with other people and then things change, they might force you to sell the asset or you might have to buy them out. So you need to have some rules in place around the investing and everyone agrees when you're all happy.
Yes.
Not when everything goes to shit.
Yeah. So then on the back of that, what financial advice would you give to someone just starting their investment portfolio?
My biggest advice would be get into the market when you can get in. Right. Obviously not buying an absolute crap property, but thinking about ways you can get in the market. So like for me, I think of everything as like a stepping stone. I feel like younger people now are really impatient and they want this $5 million property now. Not thinking. Thinking, oh, okay, what's the stepping stones to get that asset so I don't end up with a huge debt? Because like, even if you can buy the $2 million property right now, the repayments on a $2 million property are freaking huge. So, like, you want the $2 million property, but you want to have no debt on the $2 million property when you get there, right? So it's like every time you think about it, have the goal in mind so you know where you want to land, right? So what's the goal? But then what are the stepping stones to help you get there in a better, with a better outcome? So it's like, get into the market, even if it is rent vesting or potentially like co-investing. And then I would say get help, like far out. You're making the biggest investment decision that you could possibly make and you don't have a mentor. So getting help, get educated, like listen to podcasts. I've got my podcast, which is the Grow Money Mindset podcast, where I'm just giving free information, attend, like I've got my free workshops. So get educated, but don't think you know more than certain people when you do it. Just like learn the lingo. Get money from wherever you can get the money to get into the market. So don't be driven by short-term sight. Think long-term. So right now, like people will go to one bank. I had this client and she was like, oh, that's all I can borrow. And I was like, so what? You just went to the bank and that bank said that's it and you think that's it? Have you spoke to a broker? Have you made sure you've covered everything off? Because right now you're buying this where you could buy this. So like I've always gone to where I can get the money. I've never been like loyal to a bank because they really don't care about you. No matter how many millions of dollars you've got in your bank account, no one gives a shit.
Yeah.
You know? Go to where the money is, but then work out like, yeah, okay, you might pay, for me, if I might pay 7 or I might pay 10 if I'm doing a development, for example, I might get more expensive money so that I don't need to do a pre-sale, right? Because I can know when I finish it and I'm selling it for $3 million, it's worth the interest that I paid so I could sell it for more. So like, yeah, a lot of people are thinking really short-sighted these days and everything is cyclical. I always get that word wrong, cyclical.
Yeah.
If you understand, things are always moving. In business, it's cyclical. You're never just doing this. Ever. And you know, you're gonna have flat, you're gonna have up, you're gonna have down. Money is always cycling, never get attached. So it's just like this is something that's doing, performing for me, right?
And that
over the long term,
what you said about it being cyclical, I feel like is the main thing that debunks when people say it's not the right time, because you obviously said like just get in.
Yeah.
And I also used to think that too, like, oh, well, I actually didn't really know because I would read way too many different books that were conflicting. But yeah. Like, yeah, everyone's like, it's not the right time. But when you can look at it from that long term, what is it, like 10-ish year kind of cycle,
yeah.
Then that,
yeah. And it's always just Shazza down the road, well, saying it's not the right time. You know what I mean? It's
yeah, no, that doesn't it's have never any fucking
an
properties.
Expert saying it's not the right time because it'll be the right time to do something.
Yeah. Well, yeah, or it's the media telling you it's all fucked and doom and gloom. But that is literally when you go, fuck yeah, I'm doing the opposite of that and I'm going to make money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just be careful. Yeah, being careful who you listen to.
Crypto.
Yeah.
I love that for us.
Before we get into the topic, if we could just ask one favor, we can see that there's so many of you that listen weekly but aren't following yet. And this is the number one thing that will help us grow. So if you're enjoying this episode so far, can you please, please, please click follow or subscribe wherever you are listening.
So something we love to ask every single guest that we have on, because our potty is all about that growth and business mindset. What is the biggest challenge that you've faced in business and how have you overcome it?
So one of my biggest challenges was, so I built most of my business in Brisbane, in Queensland, and then we expanded. So I've expanded internationally, but that wasn't as hard as expanding to New South Wales. And that was really difficult because I was already someone. Like I'd already done it. I'd already made it in Queensland and people were like, why are you going to start again, you know, somewhere else? Like you could just stop your work. Like, you know, like we're talking about this hustle thing. And I was like, well, it was part of our business plan to expand into New South Wales. And in order to do that, I need to be there. Now, I'll tell you why it was the hardest, because like there is so many different people doing the same thing. How do you make a mark? Like how do you even go and decide what mark you're making? So you're fighting your I just remember I was fighting, I guess, I was a lot younger, so I would say ego of like, talking to people that didn't know me, that didn't know what I'd had, trying to tell me things. And I'm like, I'm too good for this. Like, I'm too good for this shit. And it was just like this constant battle. But how I got over it was I just realized that, like, I have to pretend I'm starting from nowhere and no one knows me and I'm nothing and I'm no one and I'm going to have to basically work for free, you know, like for a year. Like, I had to get that in my head to reestablish myself. So, like, do anything I can for anyone for free, even if it's like so early for me, like so minute and like not at my level of experience. And I just fucking did that for a year and went to everything and just spoke to anyone and like worked out where I could find the gaps in the market and then really looked at, I felt that Gen Y was a really big gap in the market. Thought, okay, I'm going to run events and workshops. And like my first workshop in Sydney, I had like 10 people come. And that was probably like two people that really wanted to come and like the rest of people that were just there to support,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was fucking shit. And I never gave up. Like, and I just thought, nah, this is what I have to do. And I just kept getting better and better and better and better. And I just stuck with it. And then eventually people knew, I knew what I was talking about. And then I just got like really, really big and then I won awards. So like it was swallowing my pride for a year and that was probably the hardest thing, not knowing anyone. I didn't have any friends there. I didn't have any family. I didn't even know where to get my eyebrows done. Like I was just like having like major panic attacks and like it was so hard. And I think I've set up business and gone international and worked in Taiwan and Hong Kong for like a long time. And that wasn't as hard as doing Sydney. I think because it was so close.
I think it's such a good reminder to anyone, like,
yeah.
In starting out in business or anyone, like, starting something new in business. Like, even when I think about launching my, like, Gold Coast location, like, I started working out of a clinic up there and it was really, like, a bit of, like, a back to basics with the type of marketing that I had to do to grow to grow my clientele from scratch almost in a completely new location. And I think people don't see all of that behind the scenes. Like people just go, oh, she's so big and then she's gone to this new location. Like, wow, that's so good. Like no one sees the grind that went on behind the scenes to like grow the clientele from in a completely new location. And it's the same with launching any new like facet of your business or arm of your business or company or whatever. It's like you've got to like really go back to basics each time and rinse and repeat what you know worked the first time, and then sometimes it doesn't work because you've got to pivot and adapt and like change the process for the new location, or like you said, like you've got to sometimes adjust the way you think you can just rinse and repeat, and you've got to adjust that process that you've done many times before or once before. And like it's a good reminder that when you're committed to your end goal, like you just got to keep grinding to make it work.
Yeah, so you continually fail. Like if you want to do something that's a bit different as well, like going to the building into a new area that no one else is in, it will just be it won't work the first time. Like I've done so many things that I really wanted to do and it was just like
we were
flop.
Just talking you know, about like, this on the last app, like we say like you have to fail. It's like a numbers game. The more times you fail, the more times you're gonna find success, because you're working out what doesn't work, you're working out what you don't enjoy. Like I actually recently realized that I actually don't enjoy working out of the Gold Coast. And funnily enough, like I was umming and ahhing about whether to continue it or whether to cut, like stop doing it. And then I ran it, like I made a decision, like it just wasn't feeling right for me. It was a novelty. And then I was not enjoying working out of someone else's clinic. I don't have the intentions at the moment to open my own up there. And I made the decision to stop it. And then like 2 weeks later, I got an email from them actually saying they're closing down the clinic. So it was like, it was one of those weird, like, coincidence.
Divine timing.
And I was like, oh, that's funny, because I've actually just decided to stop coming up anyway. But it's just one of those things that people don't see, those behind the scenes, and people think that we just, like, everything we do, we succeed in, like anyone that's successful in business, and that it just works for us every time. But it's like a good reminder that we fail all the time, and we don't go, oh my God, I'm a failure. We go, that's just another day in business, and that's part of the process.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's like a sense of entitlement, I feel.
Yeah.
Because it's the same with, coaching, like even new PTs and new – because obviously on social media you see everyone that are doing online coaching or whatever it is, and then – they don't want to do the free sessions. They don't want to be sitting at the gym all day, every day. They don't want to be, if it's online, posting content, free value every single day, showing up consistently, because they just like expect it to be this thing because they haven't seen all of that kind of like behind the scenes. So, I love that.
Yeah, like
that.
People, like, what are you doing to help people?
Yeah.
What are you providing?
Yeah.
Nothing. Oh, okay, so you should be where they're at. Like, fuck? No.
Yeah.
You need to, like, I remember COVID, right? And COVID killed me in the sense of, like, I worked more hours a day than I'd ever worked for less. Like, I didn't make any more money. I just had to do and help. And the stuff that I was listening to, because I was helping people out of major financial stuff, like huge corporations losing every contract to US, people like having life crises, and I'm like, okay, I've got to work this out for you, you know? And that COVID just like killed me. But like, I'm just trying to remember my point from what you were saying about like people don't, and I was still posting to help people. That's what I was saying. So like, I was like at my, I just had nothing left, but I was like, I need to put content out to help people right now because people are doing stupid things because they're being told to do them. And I was doing that. So, like, it's like you're always posting stuff to help people and that's why you're getting more business. But people are like, well, I don't want to do that. Or I'm like, okay, well, so you want to get to A, B, C, D. Well, what advertising are you doing? What content are you doing? What free information are you giving out to people? But you expect this? It's like a... energetic, you know, abundance is energy. Like, what are you giving to receive?
That's like when people say, like, hate on anyone who's really wildly successful and making shitloads of money. Like, obviously, let's say someone like Elon Musk has a lot of haters. But the best thing that I've heard is if you want to make more money, help more people. So it's like they think that these wealthy people are greedy and like, doing it all for themselves, but they wouldn't be making that kind of money if they weren't solving people's problems.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, yeah, it's funny you mentioned Elon Musk because I was talking about Elon Musk the other day. I was like, Elon Musk is great, but if you read his book, a lot of people hate him when they work for him. And I was like, so many people that are employees that have not had their own company will never understand what it takes to be great because... You have to be responsible for everything and the vision and the goals of the company and hold people accountable to lift that for the customer, for everything. But like people will always say like Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, they were assholes to work for, this and that. And I'm like, who cares? Look what they've done for the world.
Yeah, yes. I've got goosebumps.
yeah. It was just because you said it and I have literally been talking about Elon Musk
this week. Perceptions of those things are so wildly inaccurate too. It's just blows my mind.
And it's just a reflection of their internal beliefs.
Yeah.
Love it.
What a good chat.
I fucking love that. Yeah. You are on fire. So because you're a queen, can you please share with our listeners where they can find you and all of the things that you have to offer them that they can, like where they can find all of the things?
Yeah, so just my Instagram is Ida Shabanz, which I'm sure you'll tag, which is AYDASHABANZ. Our company is Grow Group, so you can type Grow Property Group in and find our platform there. I've got my Grow Money Mindset podcast, which is on Spotify and all of the other platforms. You can find that through my Instagram. There's a link there. We run the workshops that I mentioned. We do a couple of live ones and we will be moving to like an evergreen. You can find that through my Instagram. So I feel like if you go to my Instagram or YouTube, you can generally find all of those links.
And the workshops are free, right?
Yeah, so those ones we've always kept free. And, you know, that's part of that contribution piece because once people do the workshop, they're like, oh, my God, it's like the best thing. It was so good. I learned so much information and there's no real big sell of anything. You can just ask for help at the end if you want it. And we've kept it like that and free because it's like part of our give back, you know? And it's, I'm never going to charge for that workshop for that particular reason.
I love that.
Loves.
Thanks
love
so much
it.
For love joining you. Us. That was honestly fire.
Thanks for having me. I love chatting to you guys. I could just be on here all day and be like, right,
yeah,
what's
we'll,
next?
We'll mash a pod for it.
How's that? Yeah.
We trust you found value in this episode and would love it if you could follow us on Instagram at TalkTobyToBePod.
This is also where you can find the link for our anonymous questions form that we'll answer in our Big Sissy Advice episodes.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.